We are going to get started, and it may be that one or two other people join us as we go along. I've posted something on the website, just a very short orientation to week two. But before we talk about that at all, let's talk about week one and what kind of experience you've been having. It's very much your call. I don't mean for a play on words there. I want to hear how things are going for you in doing this practice. Hi, who's there?
Bridget.
Oh, Bridget, good. Nice to hear you. So we've got three people, two people from Germany and one from Holland.
Oh, but I can't hear you really well.
You can't? How's that?
Huh?
Is that better?
Yeah, it's a bit better.
Okay, well, let's hope the connection's good, because it seems to be fine for everybody else.
You are more remote. It seems you're more remote from the microphone than last week, Jack.
I see. Well, wait a second. Well, no, I've got it at maximum. Okay, I'm closer. I'm as close, about as close as I can get now.
Yeah, sounds better.
Okay. Okay. So, I was just starting to ask about people's experience with the practice for last week. The layers of mind and with the additional suggestions that I gave. So I'm just I'm going to wait for other people to say. Who just joined us?
Hello?
Yeah? Oh, is this
Hello,
Arthur?
Yes.
Is Arthur?
Yeah.
Yes, he is Arthur.
Hi,
Arthur.
Arthur. So we're
Hi, Arthur.
Hi. Hi.
Okay. So we
it is very mysterious as I enter your conference.
I called you. Did that work okay?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
then that's what we'll do, okay?
Okay.
This is the right way. You must call me.
Apparently.
In this case. Let's talk about that offline later, okay? Because we want to get started. I was just asking for people to tell me a little about their experience, or tell the group of something about experience during the last week. So... it's going to be kind of a free-for-all. Whoever wants to jump in first, go ahead.
I can start. This is Tracy. I was noticing while I was doing the exercise that I was doing some physical work on my house while I was doing the exercise. And it's a vision, but it's a picture or experience in my mind of this whole experience being kind of like a split screen film, where one side was the content of my thoughts, and the other was the non-content stuff, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So through that experience, I could feel like potential for expanded space, like an urging toward expansion. But the thing that I discovered was that my current state of anxiety kept a feeling of confinement.
So the anxiety and the confinement came up together.
Yes. It's like I felt that urging toward expanded space, like that's where my experience was going. But I have anxiety about the things going on, and I couldn't go into or expand the space as much as the urging.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it makes some sense to me. I think one of the things that comes out or is clear from what you're saying is just how much is going on in the mind at any given time.
Yeah.
You know, all these fairly subtle things that we don't usually notice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Somebody else?
Yeah, Robert here. I guess I'd build on that, Doc, because what I found really useful about the exercises is just bringing that whole sort of view of content versus non-content. And I really enjoyed the four categories you threw down, and I was playing around with those. And the more that I sort of became aware of the non-content side, the more I realized that there seems to be so many other things there as well, like these mental constructs that we carry around with us in terms of how we, you know, have learned to perceive the world, or you know, contextual clues or cues that we pick up in terms of how we react within certain environments that are just sort of not content-related, but they're more mental constructs built up over years and years of experience that didn't seem to, you know, fit into the four categories we were talking about. But it just seemed like the non-content side was a very rich there's so much there, and it's kind of something that you're not typically aware of, and it was very interesting to sort of pick up on that as you experimented with it.
Yeah, I think this is related to what Tracy said too. When we're focused on content, then that's what's there. But when we're focused on anything else, and there's an incredible range, then there is a sense that we're much more free, and also in relation to the content, you know, we're the mind is much more malleable, or it's a much better vehicle for experience. You know, many, many more things are possible.
Yeah. Am I interrupting you, Jack?
No.
What I was kind of feeling, it was, as I was doing the practice, there was more something went into kind of the surface of awareness, noticing binding going on. So, you have to welcome someone.
Yeah, hello there. Who's that?
Michael Dre. Hi.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Jack.
We're in the middle, so just join in. So, Yolaine? Michael, you're being very noisy.
Okay, I have to adjust something. I should be okay now. Sorry.
Okay. So, Yolaine, go on.
Yeah, so, was it clear what I was saying? So that when I was doing this practice, that something which was not these layers, but something that was noticing these layers. I would say, it's a bit big word, but kind of a first phase of awareness that was noticing the minding going on. And no, there was not so much clinging to it. There was this all the time going on. But it was very short. I mean, not for the whole time, but one or two very short moments that was the feel that came out of the practice.
Yeah,
Am I making myself clear here?
Well, yeah. I'll let somebody else comment. Go ahead.
Well, I can totally sort of relate to what you're saying, Elaine. I guess, and that picks up on what Tracy was saying too. As soon as you know, that sort of split image of, as soon as you're sort of trying to look at the non-con and content at the same time, it almost forces you into this third position, which, you know, maybe you can call mindfulness or this pervasive awareness, because you're just in a different kind of viewing perspective.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's kind of it opens up your experience and your way of perceiving in a very different way.
Yeah.
Well, let me say that the one of the characteristics of this non-content aspect to experience is that it's not something to look at. You know, I mean, there's content, and we look at content, or we experience content, and there's an automatic kind of subject-object split. So the content is the object of what the subject is noticing. But on the non-content level, it's very hard to put into words, because all of our language is based on the subject-object way of talking about things. But on the non-content side, the awareness just rides right along with the experience. You know, there isn't that split. And so I think you do become aware, and you do become mindful, or, you know, there's a lot of different words we could try there. And I think that's part of what gives you the sense of freedom, because you're it's a more expansive kind of experience.
Yeah, right.
This is Bruce, and one of the things that I noticed in this experience, beyond the aptness of just the name layers of mind, because so many different things were going on at once, and I would have an experience of overlays of mental images, that something that I would see visually would bring up different responses that would be somewhat superimposed on what I was seeing. Or as I was about to execute some kind of movement, I would also have a faint sense of a geometric image that basically represented the movement my body was about to do. So just these layers of different things going on. But what I found was also an expansion in time that gave this a very virtual feel, especially when I was looking at the sense of background and what's going on. and the sense of myself being involved in, you know, this class, and I would feel different layers of time involved where, because I wasn't thinking, I'm doing this, and then I'm doing that, and then I'm doing that, but I was aware of the past context and the future context, it all seemed like this virtual pattern in which experience was bubbling up in the center, if I can put it that way.
I'm just trying to get a sense of that, a virtual pattern with experience bubbling up in the center. I'm not sure I have it, but...
Okay, well, what I'm... Yeah, I guess there was, like, the context of entering the... just taking the class part as an example. What we talked about the past week, what we're doing now, where we're headed, and all of that seemed to kind of set these horizons so that what was now coming up in the present and as it was taking shape, as it was being enacted, was being affected by the past and future horizons of where I was. And it felt different because I wasn't thinking of just moving straight from past to future, but holding all of that at once. So I don't know how else to...
A certain simultaneity.
Exactly. Yeah, simultaneity, which made the whole thing feel more virtual in a way, more open.
Mm-hmm. You know, let me suggest, we've been talking about layers of experience and how much is going on, and I think I mentioned last week that there's a couple of places in the TSK books where Rinpoche talks about multidimensionality, which is another way of talking about this. I mean, you know, the vocabulary here, whatever we say is just a kind of pointer so that we can go ahead and investigate in our own experience. So another way of talking about it is multidimensionality. And I just wanted to suggest that you might want to look at pages 65 and 66 of Dynamics of Time and Space. That's one place that Rinpoche talks about that.
Okay.
And I think you'll see a clear link. But let's go on. Let's see anybody, you know, what does somebody else have to say who hasn't spoken yet?
Yes, Richard?
Yeah.
I found it kind of funny how easy I did let drop the content when I started to focus on the layers, and that the content was just gone, and before it was I was kind of hypnotized by the content. So I found it was really kind of a funny shift into more space, of course, and also when I, for example, went to the emotionality part, for example, then it could happen that I was just drawn back into a content. Also, so that it seems to me also it goes all those layers also like a interwoven structure.
Okay, Schatze?
Huh?
Did you, was that a German word you just said, Schatze? An interwoven?
Yeah. A structure.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The sound, also when I hear you, sometimes the little pieces are missing, so
yeah.
It's difficult to guess.
Yeah, yeah. Right, I'm noticing that too. Well, I think we can live with that, but Kathleen, maybe you could check with our provider here and see if there's anything, because the quality is not quite perfect. Anyway, pretty good though. So
the experience that I had was one of the volume of mind.
Mm-hmm.
I had was aware that the content usually seems to be more experientially surface and linear, and that there was a volume or depth below and around that, more of a spherical kind of sense of mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, this is Hayward, Tucson.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think the distinction between depth and surface is another way. You know, last week we talked about content and context. Again, all of these words are just meant to try to point to what it is that is going on in experience. Something else I wanted to pick up on that I think Brigitte was saying is that there's the level when we talk about content, our just very first assumption, I think, is that we are thinking about what's going on in the world around us, the things we see and, you know, that are available to our senses. But it raises an interesting question about what about something like an emotion? You know, is that, certainly it's a layer of experience, there's no doubt about that. But is it more on the content side or more on this non-content side? And this is something to explore. I guess I don't want to try to impose my own views on that, but I will say that I think that, you know, sense perception and thoughts and emotions tend to go together. And that if the content drops away, then the emotionality in the sense of a kind of agitated quality of mind also tends to go away.
So that's kind of interesting. This is Robert Jack. That was one of the observations I had was that I was doing the practice and I was focusing on the content and trying to look, you know, trying to be aware of what was happening around that content, and I noticed some anxiety that I was feeling. And that actually, I had the sense that that actually, you know, the content went away and that became the content that I was focusing on, trying to understand that as my content and as you know, why was I experiencing that? And so it stopped being the sort of the non-content or not the contextual piece, it became the content of what I was focusing on. So I think it can be, in my sense, it was sort of going back and forth.
Yeah, and I think that's true. I think that can absolutely happen. And actually, as you were talking, I started thinking, you know, what's my underlying feeling as this conversation is going on? You know, and there's, I won't try to describe it, but if somebody else wants to try to describe what's going on for them, I think that's a good place to look, you know, we're trying to do this at any time. It's available at any time. The layers of mind are available. Yeah.
So I want to ask Jack, my experience was it is difficult because everything is becoming a content when I look at the different layers. Isn't it like that?
Well, that's related to what Robert was saying. I think it's possible if you look at something, it becomes content. That's pretty much by definition, you know. The moment you look at it, it's the content of what you're experiencing.
Yes.
There is this other layer, and last week, and I think also in the notes I wrote up, I suggested that a good place to focus is the body because you can do it both ways. It's very natural or very easy to shift back and forth because you can be aware of what's going on with your body and your sensations, even though really you're pretty much completely focused on anything on something else. And I think that same thing is true. But I also agree with you, Karin, that it's not, you know, there is this going back and forth that Robert was talking about. There's when you notice something and then you say, oh, look at that, then it's become content.
And I want to add, the content from the beginning isn't that urgent anymore, and there are much more things I see or I appreciate around all the things.
Yeah, I think the kind of sense of opening up and the range of possibilities and depth, all of these ideas, that's kind of where we're headed with this. So, you know, maybe it's time to shift to talking a little bit about the coming week. I have posted something in the appropriate section on the web, just some very short thoughts about where to go with this. But I think we ought to stay with the same exercise. And I suggested if you want to get a little bit different take on it, you could look at exercise 7 in the first TSK book, the one that's called Body, Mind, Thought, Interplay. So you can tell from the title that it's related. and that reference that I gave you earlier is to pages 65 and 6, I think, of Dynamics. So those might give you some different perspectives, and definitely also the reading for this week, which is very short, just 3 pages. Those will all give perspectives. But we are kind of warming up now for bringing in space more explicitly. And I think in the content or in the discussion we've been having, that's already surfaced a number of times, that when you are not so focused on content, space opens up and a lot of other things are happening. And there is a great deal of richness to experience. And that space dimension is where we're heading. But I do think that the right way to do that for right now is to stay with the same practice.
We can include exercise number 7 from the TSK, the first book, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And
yeah, I would like to do this, you know, because there's something which struck me. It's about observe the complex interrelationship between sensations, mind, thought, emotions, and body, and then it says, which constitutes who in that situation.
That
really struck me, because there's not the dichotomy made between myself and the situation, but together, given together, maybe. I don't know, but this is really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not, when you said that, it dropped out a little bit, so let me just repeat it. The line that struck you was, this interaction constitutes you in the situation.
Yes.
And yeah, I think that is a very striking idea and suggestion. Yeah, exactly. Because if you know, one question you could ask, and this would actually go into a whole rich theme in the TSK books that we're not exactly focused on right now, but nothing stopping you from looking. Is the question of how what is the self in relationship to this whole interplay in the layers of mind? You know, is the self content, or is the self another layer of mind, or is the self this complex of things going on all the time, or is it a story or an experience or a feeling, or you know, and any of those possibilities? I think if you answer yes to any one, then that's too simple and too narrow,
yeah.
but it's a good question, you know, if that interests you.
Question.
Yeah. So okay, great. So exercise 7 in TSK brings that in. The other thing that's very explicit in exercise 7, and those of you who've done TSK retreats or classes in the past, I think you'll agree that typically when we do exercise 7 in TSK, we do it as a meditation exercise, you know, because just about everybody on the retreat will have had experience with meditation. And so we sit down and watch what's going on. And that's definitely one way to do it, and that's one way to do layers of mind also. But if you read the instructions for exercise 7, it actually says, do this in a wide range of situations. You know, do it when you're going around in the world. Watch that interplay. Body, mind, thought, or we could say watch the layers of mind. And of course, I've already been suggesting that that's a good way to do this. So, you know, you could, like I think it was Bruce posted something on the website and said, well, I did this practice when I was out for a walk. And so one way to do it would be to say, okay, I'm going to do something now, or Tracy was talking about working on the house. And you could say, you know, while I'm doing this, I'm going to do this exercise. But it might also just pop up at any given time, you know, just kind of be part of what you're doing, or you might just remember it in the middle of something. The more it shows up, the better. The more you find yourself doing this kind of inquiry, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me encourage you to be writing posts on the website. Mm-hmm. And the trickiest thing about writing posts, just to get on the technical issue for a moment, is that over on the right-hand side of the page where you write the post, there are categories. And you have to scroll down. You have to go down the categories, And you have to change the category from general comments to the one that relates to this program. If you don't, you know, I'm checking and I can change it for you. But that's right. That's the right way to do it. Other than that, I think, is anybody having any other, well, if you're having technical issues, let's not talk about them right now, but contact Kathleen in the first instance, and we can straighten that out.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask Karin and Brigitte and Arthur, does this work in terms of the English? You know, is it difficult? Arthur, I noticed you didn't say anything.
Yes, but I listened.
Okay, and you feel you understand well enough?
Yes, it's more an acoustic problem with my old telephone, and I don't know how I can hear it about via my ear receiver.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
But I can understand.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. Okay, anything else people want to say before we sign off for today? Okay.
No, thank you.
Great. Then we'll we'll talk next week. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we will.
Thank you.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. That's all.
Okay.